Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, you know, there's an old Christmas song that says this is the most wonderful time of the year. And in fact, that should actually be the case for us as Christians, shouldn't it? It should be that we stop right now, and this should be one of the most wonderful times of the years. Yet so many people, even us as Christians, just hope to get to the end of the year and survive. Anyone else felt a little bit like that this year? And then only to know that depression and grief and loneliness and often these things are exacerbated by shattered family contexts and debts and all sorts of other things. Christmas can sometimes lose its luster as one of the most beautiful times of the year and get bogged down into an overloaded time of the year where we just hope to make it to the next one. Christmas sometimes seems to be hijacked by the cynics, exploited by capitalists, trampled on by consumers. The Christmas cheer, it kind of comes under a withering attack. Checkout lines seem to go on forever. And now when you get to the end of them, you actually have to check yourself out. There's no charity in the shopping center car parks. We kind of dive in like hungry dingoes looking for the next car park. Cheap suited Santas charge a king's ransom just to have your kid cry with them, and today they can't even sit on his lap. December, it's full of long, hot, noisy days, culminated in a weary singing of Silent Night. Exhausted by parties, shopping, feasts, families, and travel, we arrive at Bethlehem manger suffering from heat stroke. Christmas Eve, we find ourselves lifting up our weary voices to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." But it shouldn't be that way. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. This should be the season for us as Christians where we actually understand the meaning of those words, and the joy is carried in and out of us to the rest of the weary world that has fallen into the trap of all those other things. What a shame if we were to lose sight of celebrating Christmas. And that's why we're taking this short series to be able to talk about celebrating. We talked about celebrating peace. And today I want to talk to you about celebrating the joy of Christmas. We sang Holy Night. Wasn't that beautiful rendition of that? And that lyric there that says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." If you're feeling weary, if you've fallen into the trap of everything else that's kind of bundled up to call itself Christmas, and you've missed the reality that it really is joy, if you're feeling weary, good news today. You can reconnect with Christmas being a time to celebrate God's joy, His Son Jesus. We go on, we sing other things like, "Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." Do you get the theme that continually comes out in the carols we sing? Joy to the world. It really is the perfect opportunity for us to engage our hearts in the true celebration of Christmas joy. But if we're not intentional about it, we're easily caught up in the pointless and mindless holiday, and then we lose sight of the meaning of Christmas. I don't want to labor here, but I do want to remind us. Because unfortunately, the rest of society, that's what's actually happened. Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, saw religious celebrations that were void or divorced from true worship like this. The people who loved their feasts, who loved their festivals, God's people who were even coming together and celebrating had lost the perspective and understanding of why they celebrated. And God speaks these words through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, where God says, "Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies." Strong words, hey? "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate them with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them." Children of Israel turned their holy day into a holiday. And God declined to be on their guest list. I wanted to put that right up front because I've almost fallen into that trap myself. In recent days, I've been counting how many Sundays it is to get to holiday, to get to a break. And we can be starting to think that all of this is a holiday when it's really a holy day. It should be the time that we come together to be able to joyfully celebrate in the truth we know that God, the God who created the universe, sees the need and responds in person to come and solve the problem. Christmas is all about declaring joy to the world, the Lord has come. And God's desire is that His people would be full of joy. And it's not only the carols that remind us that this should be a joyful occasion of finding the Savior. Throughout the Christmas story, the message of the birth of Jesus was met with this great joy. We read about it in Luke chapter 1 with Zechariah, who's told by the angel, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Again, a little bit further on in that first chapter of Luke, John the Baptist leapt for joy even in his mother Elizabeth's womb and the pre-born state of meeting the Savior of the world. Mary then rejoices in God, her Savior, when she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus. The angel proclaimed, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The ultimate story of God's love is still true today. The glory is still there to be witnessed. So how do we make sure that entering into this Christmas, we celebrate with great joy the news of our Savior and don't get caught up in turning this holy day into a holiday? Unfortunately, many people just leave Christ right out of Christmas. We know that to be the case. Instead of looking to Jesus, people look for joy anywhere they can find it. Pretty much everybody wants happiness. People just want to be happy. In fact, they do whatever they can for the purpose of finding happiness. For some, they work hard to buy possessions that they can make them happy. They look for happiness in entertainment or hobbies or sports or passions or various addictions. Some of them look deep, deep, deep within, hoping that maybe that's where the elusive happiness is actually hiding. But when you consider that happiness seems to be the main goal, it really is surprising that the Bible doesn't talk much about happiness at all. But it does talk about something that is often confused with happiness. The Bible has a lot to say about joy. The kind of joy the Bible talks about goes way deeper than the surface level of happiness. Joy in the Bible is actually mentioned 650 times. To be joy, to be rejoicing, to rejoice, to be glad, to gladness, to delight in the Lord. Smattered throughout the Psalms, you get this understanding that God wants us as his people to rejoice, to shout for joy, to be joyful. The psalmist reminds us that it's in the presence of God where the fullness of joy is, that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist calls God his exceeding joy. We know that as we go on, Paul talks about the fact that the disciple, in Luke says that the disciples were filled with joy when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to talk about in Romans that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The joy comes with the element of the kingdom. Joy is, in fact, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And when the Spirit isn't able to allow the fruit, the result of him residing in our lives to be joy, if we allow our focus to be in a different place and the world to squash and contain, and so that we would cheapen the joy that God has to be displayed through us to merely looking for happiness, we're going to miss out on true biblical joy. You see, happiness deals with what's happening. That's what happiness does. It depends on circumstance. In fact, for most people, happiness is nothing more than a temporary interruption of boredom. Now, school holidays started for me 2 weeks ago. We've already got to the stage of, I'm bored. Any other parent empathizing with me right now, you soon will be. I'm bored. Hoping that happiness is a momentary thing that will kind of jolt me out of my boredom. I'm bored with my life. I'm bored going to work. I'm bored fixing the garden. I'm bored. And it's not just kids that get bored. We get bored as adults with our boring day-to-day lives. And so we look to fill it with the next shot of adrenaline of happiness. And we fail to see that true joy that comes out of Jesus is the very thing we're actually looking for. Genuine joy does not depend on what is actually happening around us. Joy is an inner sense of well-being that has nothing to do with our circumstance. The kind of joy the Bible describes can't be found in possessions. It can't be found in entertainment. It's not from either looking deep within ourselves and hoping that's where it resides either. The common theme amongst nearly all the verses that are found on joy is their origin. It's the source of true joy. And at Christmas, we find why everyone in the Christmas story was so joyful, because they found Jesus. They found their Savior. Our search for joy begins with Jesus. And I want to talk to us about four keys to experiencing the joy of celebrating Christmas that I hope will change our mindset over the next couple of weeks. Because Christmas joy really is all about finding Jesus, remembering Jesus, not all the other stuff. You see, the joy of Christmas is really to be found in a spirit of reconciliation. Christmas should focus our heart on the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. Paul couches the coming of Christ in terms of reconciliation when he says in 2 Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, any celebration of Christ should reflect the core purposes of his appearing. To reconcile, to reconnect. To reconcile and reconnect the world at large to himself through the work of Jesus. Jesus does for us what no other person has ever been able to do. He removes our guilt and reconciles us back to our Father in heaven. He raises from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. He implants within us new hopes, new aims, new enthusiasm. And when Christ comes into a life, he revolutionizes that life to a person who becomes a new creation. This, of course, is our reason to celebrate with great joy. We've actually been saved. There's never a happier person than a person who needs to be saved, recognize that without being saved, they're done for, and then finds someone to save them. That's exactly, I think we can forget the first part of that too often. We know that Jesus can be our Savior, but we forget that we need actually saving. You'll be much more happy when you stop long enough to realize you need to be saved. You see, if you don't think you need any help on that journey, if you think you've got it all okay and it's packaged up quite neatly and the bow's on top and you're doing fine, then you have little reason to celebrate in the joy of a Savior. But if you know you need a whole lot of help, wow, Jesus becomes like a breath of fresh air, a wind in your sail, a smile on your face. Why? Because you've discovered Jesus, your Savior. Once we were these sinners who were condemned to be separated from God's presence forever, but now because of Jesus, we can live with him forever. To know the pardon, to know the joy, to know the peace, to know the power that comes through Jesus, we must personally receive him by faith. To place him both as Lord and Savior in our lives, humbling ourselves in our moral failures and calling on his name. The two most monumentous events in world history, the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection, Christmas and Easter. And when you understand you have this joy of knowing that you are forgiven and your eternity is secure, it's then that we extend that same spirit of reconciliation out towards others. What a tragedy that Christmas celebration is often the backdrop of renewed hostility or bitterness or the tired rehearsal of past offenses. What joy we can know when the Spirit of Christ comes to give us great understanding of being forgiven. We then exercise that same extension of reconciliation towards others. Privilege of being able to forgive as we've been forgiven. That's what Christmas affords us. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason for joy. You see, the joy of Christmas not only found in reconciliation, but in reconnection, in coming together. This good news should cause us to want to come together. I think that's why even the rest of the world, still, if you were to ask them, what is the reason for Christmas? What are you looking forward to about Christmas? A lot of people are going to say, getting around a family meal together. Even though most of us don't really want to be sitting with most of the people at that table. It's kind of weird, isn't it? There's something in all of us that believes that this should be a great time to reconnect, to be able to connect those who have fallen away, to be able to connect back to those who we call family and friends and loved ones, neighbors trying to get the street together. What a wonderful idea. Christmas holds with it this idea of not just reconciling to God, but being reconciled to one another to be able to reconnect. In Luke chapter 15, a whole section of passages that are used to emphasize that God wants to be reconciled to people and will go in search of those who are needing him. We have this story of that Jesus told of a woman who lost a very valuable coin. It's the same passage you're going to read about the lost sheep. And this valuable coin she searches in her house for until it's found. And when that precious coin is actually restored to her, when she finds it, listen to what it says in verse 9. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." The implications are inescapable. The good news is reason to gather those near and far together to be able to celebrate. The Christmas celebration should put all grievances off limits. If Christ will truly be honored, it should be us connecting with Him and then with one another. Strange that it should be just like Jesus said, right? Love Him with everything and then love one another. He came and can to dissolve the disputes, to heal the broken hearts, if we actually decide to put that process in action. We have a tradition in my wife Robin's family and her side of the family where before opening any presents, we read the Christmas story. We've done it as long as I can remember being a part of that family, some 25 years or so. And we still do it today, even though our kids are now, you know, growing up into teenagers, we still read the Christmas story. And for a while there, I was like a little bit over it, but I think as I get older, I get the reason. I get it more and more. It's the more I appreciate that Christmas and the reading of the Christmas story, again, reminding us of one of the greatest things ever. There's something powerful and sacred when generations share the core of their faith together. The connection of grandchildren and grandparents through a shared faith creates memories that touch generations to come. Christmas and alone are two words that really should never connect together. Joy in the season is found in reconnecting with those we love and even with those we have lost touch with along the way. The spirit of Christmas is about being reconciled to God, about being reconnected with one another. But the joy of celebrating Christmas is all found in a spirit of rejoicing. Luke reports that Christ's birth was accompanied by angelic praise. I love the idea of it. God heralding to the world by His angels, His messengers. Just exactly what was happening in that moment of time. And we read about it in Luke chapter 2, where it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" We'd do well, I think, to join with that angelic chorus. A conscious effort, I think, needs to actually be made by every believer to put aside everything that gets in the road of us lifting up praise. I think if I was to take a survey right now, you could quickly tell me all the things that have gotten in the road of wanting to come to rejoice, of wanting to come and celebrate in praise to our great God. They'd be right there at the tip of your tongue. You'd be able to just quickly reel them off. And what I'm asking you to do, what I think we're asked from Scripture to do, is to put back onto our tongue not the reasons that we don't come to exercise our choice to praise, but to actually make the conscious effort and decision to enter into rejoicing, to enter into giving praise. It becomes a conscious decision, despite our circumstances, to engage the truth and act on it by lifting up our praise, by rejoicing in good news. You know, the Christmas season gives us this opportunity to overcome some of the gloom and to replace it with rejoicing by allowing the true celebration of the good news to sink deeper than just a recital of words that may be familiar once a year to us, but to allow those words of truth to sink deep into our hearts and find their expression in rejoicing. Hope tends to brighten all that it touches. The Bethlehem manger is much, much more than a historical milestone, although it is that. It's an unfolding promise to all who believe. Jesus is a gift who just keeps on giving. As believers, we can rejoice in things eternal, even when the current circumstances make that difficult. What's your choice leading into Christmas? Look at what happens when the shepherds act on what the angels proclaimed. A little bit later in Luke chapter 2, where we've seen the angelic host proclaiming glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. And now listen to what they do. They actually act on it. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, after they've gone and seen this very reason to celebrate themselves, this birth of the Savior in a manger, by faith they make the choice. Listen to what it results in. The shepherds returned, meaning returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's the same for the Magi. They act in faith, they make conscious decision and choice to go and worship Jesus. And in Matthew, it tells us that when they saw the star that led them to him, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In Psalm 16, verse 11, I read it out before, it tells us that in his presence there is the fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures evermore. See, when we worship the King, when we come into his presence, that's where joy is found. If this Christmas you want to experience the joy of the Lord, then come and worship him. Come into his presence. The joy of celebrating Christmas is found when we choose to rejoice and when we engage in praising God. And you'll find that these ways of being reconciled and reconnected, these ways of finding joy in his presence by rejoicing, will do something magnificent in you. It will release a spirit of generosity inside of you. My favorite Christmas text is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. So simple, we've heard it so many times. We see it written on banners around Olympic stadiums, you know. It's just what it looks like. God the Father giving his one and only Son for you and me. What an incredibly generous God. What an incredible act of generosity. And I think we need to reaffirm the sacred foundation that supports the gift-giving tradition at Christmas. While we shouldn't get carried away with the excess debt and the, you know, pride-driven spending, we should be exercising generosity that comes out of a rejoicing in his presence. Compassion comes from the same place. When you know you've been forgiven, you'll forgive. And when you know what you have received, you'll freely give. Freely you've received, now freely give. There's the whole idea packaged up. This joy that we've received because of our understanding of being reconciled to the Father and reconnected with one another should be expressed in generosity of heart. What does it look like for you this Christmas to be generous? How is it that you can reflect the generous heart of God who gave us his Son, God with us, Emmanuel? You see, unless we invest into Christmas with its glorious message and meaning, we risk this holy day becoming a holiday, a pagan festival, really, if you take the real meaning out of it. We have the opportunity, however, to experience the joy this Christmas, to truly celebrate Christ, find ourselves worshiping him. Make your holiday a holy day. Add another seat or two at your table. Set free whatever grudges and unforgiveness that you hold on to. Sing the carols at the top of your voice, but more importantly, straight from your heart as you come into his presence and worship him. Tell Christ's story with thanksgiving and awe to all those who are around you, and wrap every present in love and celebrate it this Christmas with joy. You are the reason Jesus came. No one has more cause to celebrate and experience his joy than you do. For you're the very reason that he came. And if you're yet to receive God's forgiveness and make him your Lord and Savior so that you might truly rejoice this Christmas, then today can be the start of a life filled full of meaning and belonging. A life that can cease looking for the hit of happiness and, regardless of circumstance, find yourself rejoicing and being filled with joy because of what you know to be true. Christ came to be your Savior. Would you pray with me? God, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this indescribable gift of Jesus, as Paul puts it. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming to take my punishment of my sin. I can't, my words fail me to put what that does in the inside of my heart. To know that I am pardoned, to know that my sin no longer separates me from you, but that I can rejoice in being known as your son or as your daughter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving up yourself so freely. Thank you, God, for being such a generous father in the giving of your son. God, let us turn from all the things that would simply make this a holiday, and let us turn towards being reconciled to you. We call out on your wonderful name, Jesus, the name in which we find ourselves being saved. And we again declare you as our Lord and Savior, our King of Kings. Come, Holy Spirit, and refresh and renew a great sense of joy deep within each of us. We want to receive you. We choose to worship you. We choose to lay down our lives for yours, to allow you to live your life through us. We pray we do so with great joy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with a joy and a rejoicing that this Christmas season and beyond would be evident to all in whom we come in contact with. All those who are feeling weary, all of those who are feeling burdened, all of those who are feeling grief and distress, all of those who are simply treating this as a holiday, God, that our lives would display your glory and your goodness and a newfound sense of joy that would help them to understand that true joy is found in meeting you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God, for all you do. May we, your people, be filled with joy this Christmas.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.